To be here in the assembly this morning with the saints, and as we get ready to study God's word together, it's always great to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And so let us do that at this time. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful and mindful of this opportunity that we have to assemble and to be in thy presence. And Father, this is something that we don't take for granted, and we see it as a privilege and an honor to be able to assemble in one accord, to be able to worship you and to be able to study your word and to understand the truths that you have imparted through divine revelation. That are written down that we can follow and to learn more about you and to increase our faith by continuing to glean the truths that thou has given us and gaining a more clear understanding, Father, of your love and your grace and your mercy. We're thankful for Christ who came down in human form and left all the glory which is above and on high and came down to this earth and made himself of low reputation, Father, and went to the cross of Calvary as an atonement sacrifice for our sins. We're so thankful for the cleansing power that his blood gives us and when we are obedient to your gospel plan of salvation. And we're so thankful to be in your kingdom this morning. Continue to be with us, Father, as we study thy word and break open the bread of life, and may we be spiritually nourished and energized as a result of this study this morning. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Let me put my phone on vibrate there. I'm glad it didn't. Nobody called me then. Okay. Something that as the elders of we want to share with the congregation, and there'll be other further announcements coming out as well. We're going to be streaming, sending the stream out via the group email one last time, and then we're not going to send it out anymore. We are urging all our members to return to the assembly of here at Southeast. And so we're going to offer the streaming this one more iteration. And after that, we're not going to be sending the streaming out anymore. We're still going to stream for various reasons. For those who are physically unable to come out or shut ins, but we want to make sure that we're not enabling our members here at Southeast to use the streaming as an excuse to stay home. The streaming is something that, again, it was done as a result of the pandemic, which had reached epidemic proportions. And at this time, we are no longer because of the vaccinations, because of the progress has been made, it is now necessary and appropriate and expedient to urge our membership to come back and to assemble here in mass. Now, something that I'm not going to, I could do a whole lesson on this, but I have another subject, believe it or not. But the word edification, we come here not only to worship God, that's first and foremost, but we also come here to encourage one another. The word edification is very important as a body of believers. As 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says, by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. And so when we have a brethren, again, plural, men and women, who are choosing to say, well, okay, I got the streaming, I'm just going to stay home. We feel that that is not putting God first and making a sacrificial effort to assemble as we have been commanded. So, again, I'm not going to give you a mini sermon on that, but we are going to. This is the last iteration. One more iteration of the streaming will be sent out in mass, and then we will not be sending it out any longer after that point. So, if you have any questions, please see one of the elders, please. Now, the subject that I'd like to present and discuss with you, if you have questions or input, please do that. Now, what I want to talk about is how God makes himself known to us. How God makes himself known to us. Now, the first quarter of the year, we have three different themes. The first quarter, Brother Obed presented lessons, regarding, illuminating Christ and studying about his parables and some of the magnificent examples that he left us. The second quarter, we're studying about the Godhead and understanding the relationship between the Godhead, the church, and salvation, and us as Christians, how all that intertwines, the oneness of that, the unity that exists between God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how that example should flow into us as Christians, as a body of believers. We should be intertwined and should be unified together, walking together, encouraging one another, seeing about one another, praying for one another, unto love and to good works, to help each other get to heaven. So the second quarter, we've been studying about the Godhead. The third quarter, we're going to be presenting about 14 common errors that are out there in the religious world, and how to refute them, how to contend for the faith, as Brother Obed is studying in Jude. And so Brother Obed is on vacation, you guys, that was announced. So he's studying the book of Jude, and Jude 3 tells us to contend earnestly for the faith that's been once and for all delivered to the saints. So the third quarter, we want, what our aim and what our goal is this whole entire year is to equip you and me as Christians to be better able to go and talk to someone about the gospel, to share the gospel plan of salvation. We're looking to sharpen your tools, your sword, if you will, and strengthen your equipment, that, you know, your armor that you have, to better prepare yourself to go out and to talk to a non-believer one-on-one, to be able to know what to say and how to say it, and to be comfortable with that. So the third quarter, there's going to be 14 common errors that are going to be taught from the pulpit in Bible class here in this forum, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And the fourth quarter, we're going to be focusing on sowing the seed of the kingdom, seeking and saving the lost. How to go about doing that. Different techniques, different ways that you can do that. So sowing the seed of the kingdom. So we are zeroed in on getting our members, our body of believers, better prepared. As 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give a ready answer of the hope that is within you. So, to give you to remind you about the things that we have quarterly themes this year. So the lesson this morning, God has revealed himself to mankind in many different ways. It is by our increase in faith, which entails us acquainting or familiarizing ourselves with God's divine revelation, the Bible. So Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, turn over there, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. God makes himself known to us. He has done that. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible." So we must learn who God is by Holy Writ. What I mean by Holy Writ is his divine revelation, the word that he has given us through divine inspiration by the power of the Holy Spirit. So through Scripture, which is the mind of God revealed. There are some things about God that we can learn from nature. We can look at the way that this earth is situated in a perfect position between in proximity to the sun, so that we can have different seasons, so that we're not here fanning all the time and getting and being uncomfortable. So God put us, he created this earth, he put us on this earth for a purpose. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 says the whole duty of man is to what? Fear God and keep his commandments. So we can learn a lot about God just by through nature. Go to Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." Now turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans 1 and verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his internal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So we see the results or the attributes of his divine creation, this earth. We can see God's creation through us. And how the Bible says that we are what? Magnificently and wondrously made. If you just look at one component of the human body, I'm always fascinated by the human eyes and how fine and how small that part, that component of our body is, but how advanced it is, and how wondrously made, the phenomenon of being able to, through our eyes, which is connected to our brain, we're able to discern and to receive and to receive stimuli. So, a wonderful thing. So, we see that the word Godhead is used in this verse 20. And just keep in mind that is what we are wanting to emphasize into your minds, and realizing that the Godhead consists of three different personalities: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So keep that in mind. God has made the mystery of his gospel plan and himself known. From the very beginning, God may ensure that his truths or his commandments were communicated to mankind. Now, I'm going to try to cover, if time allows, how God made himself known before he came down, how God actually came down to make himself known, in what form, and lastly, how God comforted man by his coming down. What are the benefits that we enjoy because God made himself known to us? So God revealed himself to our, if you want to use this expression, our first parents, Adam and Eve. And God at this time, created Adam and Eve, and there was a direct line of communication and communion with them, between Adam and Eve and God. God had conversations with them, and they could talk and articulate in a two-way conversation to God. This was the patriarchal time. During this time frame, God spoke directly to mankind. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2, back the first book in the Bible, and we'll take a look at that. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. I know you got time to get there, so it's taking me a little bit to get there myself. So we see in this verse here, God set some parameters here. He says, I'm going to start at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." So God set some parameters there as far as how they were supposed to take care of the garden and abide there and live there and to also to stay in harmony and in pleasing to God. Now, because of man's choice, we know what happened. Because of man's choice to disobey God, sin was born, and this connection or relationship was broken. We know that the serpent came on the scene, and he tricked, if you will, or convinced, I'm going to use the word convinced, it's probably a better word, Eve, and she partook of the fruit, and she took it and also convinced her husband Adam to partake of it as well. Again, they were equally guilty of this violation of God's law, and we know that again this connection was broken as a result of that, and it changed the course of history and how mankind interacts with God from that point. And in the same book of Genesis, go to chapter 3 and verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she looked of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." So turn over to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. 59:1-2. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1-2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." So sin separates us from God. God does not tolerate sin. He does not like sin at all. So we have to remember that, and as we live as Christians, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2 says that if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father. So let's continue on here. Any questions, any comments at this point in juncture? Cain further rebelled from God in that, you know, in that Cain was the first son. He was born of Adam and Eve. And we know that there was sacrifices that these two men made. Cain further rebelled from God in that he did not offer a sacrifice that was acceptable to God's expectation. God did set the expectation. Also, he further was carried away in his own selfish desires and took his anger out on his brother Abel. We know that his sacrifice was not acceptable. He became angry and wroth, and he was with his brother, and they were discussing this issue, and he became very selfish and very angry, and his emotions boiled over, and what happened? He killed his brother, killed his own flesh and blood. And so after that event, God rendered and executed punishment on Cain. He found it unbearable, and Cain, rather, found it unbearable and departed from the presence of the Lord. Let's look at that. We see that he was not a happy camper in what he had done. And then after being just really hateful and selfish after that, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13 says, "And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear." I'm going to continue reading here. "Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And so the Lord said, "And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him." So Cain was, if you will, a marked man because of his disobedience to God, and he left God's presence. And hopefully none of us will take that premise and will decide and choose to disobey God and just totally ignore and reject God's commands. Now, moving on, after Adam's third son, Seth, Adam did have a third son. His name was Seth. He was born, and the scripture says a remnant at that point in time, a remnant began to call on the name of the Lord. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4, in that same chapter 4, verses 25 through 26. Genesis 4, 25 through 26. "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and named him Seth, for he had appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and his name was Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." So we see that there was a return, back to God. Adam was still around and still living, so he had influence. There were men during this era, during the patriarchal age, who recognized and followed God. Remember, Adam lived before the flood and had influence, and many people knew God because of Adam and his example. Now, Adam lived quite a long time. Who knows how long Adam lived on the earth? Does anyone know? Yes, sir. He lived for 930 years. A lot of people don't realize that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5, one chapter over, chapter 5 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5. "So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Speaking of that same chapter 5, if you read that whole chapter, you will notice that of the 10 names mentioned in the chapter 5 of Genesis, only Noah was born after Adam died. So let us not forget that Enoch is mentioned here. Enoch was born, and we know about him. Well, put it this way, we know there was so little mention about Enoch, but he had great impact, no doubt. So Enoch definitely had a great influence, and the people that lived during this era could have learned about God, Jehovah God, through Enoch. So God continued at that point to make his presence known and to impart his words and his commands. Now, if we go to Genesis chapter 5, speaking of Enoch, Genesis chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, in that same chapter, it says, "So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And let's turn over to another parallel scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's see what I want here. In verse 5. Turn over there, please. Hebrews 11 in the New Testament in verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." So we see that there were influence. God still had his influence through Enoch, through Adam, through Seth. His word continued, his testimony continued to be conveyed to mankind. Please recall, speaking of Noah now, that only 8 souls were saved from the great flood that destroyed the earth. And so we know that Noah listened, and he took action, and he obeyed God. So that is very important for us, for our history, to know that, because we see that God's word and his lineage continue to progress. Now, after the flood, God continued to make himself known to mankind in various ways by continuing to speak through the patriarchs. He continued to do that. We know of Abraham, for an example. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12 now. Should have told you to keep your finger in Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.'" So we have Abraham that he spoke directly to. We have Job. This is an interesting chapter. And if you go to Job 38, go to Job chapter 38. This is a conversation that God is having with Job. We know that if we know the story of Job, we know that a lot of his friends, his so-called friends, were not really friends, because they were trying to persuade Job to shy away or to reject God. And we know that his wife even told them to reject God and die. So in Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding.'" Now, I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but it's an interesting chapter to read, because God is telling Job, hey, I created this earth. Where were you when that happened? So we see that God continues to have dialogue with the patriarchs. Job was one of them. God also spoke to priests. Melchizedek comes to mind in Genesis chapter 14. Keep going back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 14. Melchizedek was a king, and he was also a priest, believe it or not. And Christ is patterned or spoken to after the order of Melchizedek. Let's go to Genesis 14 and read verse 18. I'm going to start at verse 17. Genesis 14, 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheba, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. So we see that God did speak to the priests. We're mindful of Samuel, who's one of the priests. Now God also spoke or showed his presence or made his presence known through plagues. Now we know that God placed a plague. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 17. Do you recall the story when Abram went into Egypt because of the famine, and he pretended that his wife Sarah was his sister? And he said, "Well, tell me, let's pretend that you're my sister, because I'm afraid they're gonna kill me because of your beauty. The people are gonna want to marry you, so they're gonna kill me and get me out of the way. So I want you to pretend that you're my sister." And so they went into Egypt with this under this understanding. And in verse 17 it says, "But the Lord plagued Pharaoh." We know that Pharaoh found favor with Sarah, and he became interested in her. But the Lord put a stop to that. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. So God had a hand in persuading or disallowing this event to happen. And he took care of Abram, Abraham, despite his faith. His lack of faith that he had in God, God still picked him up. When God spake during this era, he called men by name. So God was speaking to different men during this era. Jacob comes to mind. Go to Genesis chapter 46 and verse 2. Genesis 46 and verse 2. Then God spake to Israel in vision of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he says, "Here I am, Lord." So he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation." So we see that God continued to make his presence known and continued to communicate to the patriarchs during this era. Now, I want to transition and talk about how God came down to make himself known. How God came down to make himself known. God indeed came down and revealed himself to man. He came down to Mount Sinai. and spoke to the nation of Israel through Moses. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5, and we'll start reading in verse 1. God came down to the earth, to Mount Sinai. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain," he said. Well, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. So in this scripture, the presence of God was so great and so powerful, it struck fear amongst the Jews. When they heard the voice of God from the midst of the fire, his voice was like thunder. And we know thunder is pretty powerful, isn't it? You know, we see a crack, a bolt of lightning, and then the next thing you know, we hear a pretty loud sound. Go to also in chapter 5, go to verse 24. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 24. Again, we're talking about the Lord and how he interacted. And you said, "Surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire and as we have and lived?" And see, I'm going to go through verse 30. "You go near and hear all that the Lord God may say and tell us," they're talking to Moses, "us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, 'I have heard the voice of your words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents.'" So we see that the presence of God was very, very awesome. It was something very powerful. And we see that God is a God that should be feared because of his wondrous and mighty power. Brother Obed has spoken and used the word omni. You can use omnipresent, omnipotent. There's many, many different words to describe our Lord God and his power. Now, so God came down to Mount Sinai and showed his presence to the Israelites. We can go to Exodus chapter 19 and Exodus chapter 20. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. Does anyone have any questions, any comments to make? Exodus 19, 1 through 8 says, "In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, so Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on the eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be a king, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came down and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. If you go to turn over to chapter 20 of Exodus, verses 18 through 20, so we see that God made a covenant with the Israelites when he came down, and they agreed to obey God's commandments. Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 18 and going through verse 20. "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes, sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us as we will hear, but let us not speak with us lest we die.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin.'" So this was truly an awesome event to witness the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 64, verses 3 and 4 says, "When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him." So we see that God came down, and the Israelites were witnessing and seeing the presence of God and hearing God's voice. And so this was something that it was really awesome to hear and to experience. Now, we hear the voice of God how? How do we hear the voice of God today? God's word. So God speaks to us now through his word, through divine inspiration. Now, David confirms that God came down and revealed his presence in Psalms 103 and verse 7. It says, "He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." So it is important to note. Another important point that we want to make before we close is that God told Moses to write down the things that he was telling him. Go to Exodus chapter 34. So that's very important to note, that Jehovah God instructed Moses to write down these things that he was being told. Exodus 34 and verse 27. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel.' So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." So we have the example of God speaking to the prophets. God made known his guidance by divine inspiration through the power of the Holy Spirit, the great revealer. The Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament. He was active in the New Testament and delivering the New Testament words of inspiration to us. And so the Holy Spirit now works through the power of God's word, that we have written down in the pages of inspiration. God doesn't speak directly to us as he once did to the patriarchs. He's not going to speak anymore to reveal any more revelation. 2 Peter 1:3 says we have everything that we need for life and godliness. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that it's thoroughly furnished, it's complete. The Word of God is complete in its present form. So God is not going to speak to me or you at 3 o'clock in the morning and reveal something to you directly anymore. These prophets, again, made the God's word known. Let's go to 2 Peter. That will be the last scripture, and then we'll close. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19 through 20. Hopefully this is a familiar scripture to us all. 2 Peter 1:19-20. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now, in this verse, first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy came by the will of man, not by the will of man, but holy men spake. The holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So that's the last thought I have for you this morning. I have more material than time, so we'll have to pick that up at a later time. We appreciate your presence this morning, and let's go ahead and conclude our lesson for this morning, and let's go ahead and transition to our worship hour at this time. Thank you.